And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. Our DDD, Devotional Diamond of the Day. Doesn't matter whether you think so or not, you have to fish. You have to fish. Wow. Also, kind of like our O.L. Spears good friend says, think about it. Think about it. Just to let you know, below me, people are doing construction and they're banging away. So every time a second goes by, I'm hearing a hammer and I'm thinking like I'm in a construction room. Thanks. Also, we're going to talk about use the sword. You can't have a sword and just keep it hidden. You have to use it. And we'll close out with It's Alive.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn toward drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. And the more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. Then, after decades of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined K-Praise, and this radio program began. You are about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving. No, I mean real lessons for surviving. Lessons for living. No, I mean actually lessons on living the spiritual life. Lessons on prevailing. No, not just living, not just surviving, but prevailing in the spiritual life. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Eh. Personal revelations, usually. Spiritual observations, sometimes. My life's insanities, all the time. No, no, so much more. We're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 866-577-2473-866. K-Praise. Any topic is, of course, technically open for conversation because it's not professional radio. Period. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family. The David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break and then come back, but stand by.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Hey, K-Praise friends, Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. So I heard you've been on the internet trying to figure out what your home's worth. Stop that. The internet's a scary place. If you or someone you know is considering selling, call me. I'll give you a free and accurate home value report. The market is changing and you need to know what's going on. I've been selling homes all over San Diego for more than 20 years. I'm a trusted K-Praise partner and fellow believer. You have nothing to lose by calling me. My in-home consultation and home value report are free. When we meet, I'll give you a copy of my book, Muslim by Birth, Christian by Faith, and I'll even donate to your favorite charity or ministry. Call me now, 858-780-1SAM, 858-780-1SAM, or just visit thinksam.com, realestatethinksam.com. Thanks.
No matter where we are in life, we all want to grow, going from good to great, especially in our journey with Jesus and others. Life Change with Pastor Troy Singletary will help you experience growth that is lasting and real each week. This Sunday, we hear Pastor Troy share his vision for the mission and direction of City View Church in the message, Vision Sunday. Listen to Life Change Sundays at 9:30 a.m. Life Change is the broadcast ministry of City View Church in San Diego. Learn more at cityviewsd.com.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at Carpentry Training USA. I'm sorry, AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station. Here in San Diego, California. What folks don't know, see, we're on the fifth floor in the La Jolla, one of the buildings in La Jolla. Right underneath us on the fourth floor, they're using a hammer, a ping hammer, on the ceiling. Well, guess whose desk is on the floor on the fifth floor? Mine.
Do you notice during the break, there was not one sound?
Not one sound.
Back, boom.
They start going on the air. It's like they're waiting for it. So maybe they're listening to the show going, we don't want to hear you no more. I think them and the LGBTQRSTUVWXYZ123 group got together. I want to bring this up. We were just talking in the off time. There's no real off time here, but the off time and the off the live air time. We're talking about Todd. Now we're talking. He had just brought something up about a movie. At first, I was going to go one direction, but then he said something else about the movie. So you have borrowed a friend's movie and are having a hard time getting through the movie. Is that correct?
Yes. We've talked before about other movies that are based on, you know, religious things, but aren't accurate.
Yeah, they miss it by a mile. Kind of yes. Like the movie Noah, not even clear. Like we said, they had water. You know, that's in the movie Noah. Well, that was accurate.
It was building a boat.
There was a boat and there was water. Outside of that, the rest of it was rubbish. The understanding there is you were watching that one, I don't know if it's the same director, but it's like the same group of people. And this was the one about Egypt and the children of Israel. And you were watching that. And it's funny because just recently we were talking about the children of Israel walking through the Red Sea. And the scripture is absolutely clear that they walked through on dry land, which itself is as much as a miracle, is splitting the sea, because it means that the wind that God brought against it to raise up the waters went into the depths of the bed of the earth and then cleared out the moisture in order for 600,000 men, not including women and children, to walk across there on dry territory. But yet in the movie, they depict what?
Well, yeah, as soon as I'm watching the scene, I remembered you talking about, specifically, you said dry land. And in the movie, they're walking in about a foot of water.
Right. So that actually comes, now watch this, that actually comes from a scientific tradition, not even a rabbinical tradition, which I could have, you know, dealt with that. And that is that the army of Egypt that followed Israel actually went in the water after Israel and then drowned because Israel went through at low tide. That's what these scientists came up with. High tide for the first quarter of that journey would have been a foot and a half. So a foot and a half deep of water in the very first quarter mile. So that really means that all those soldiers and horses and all those people drowned in 18 inches of water. Wait, what? See, this is why you don't pay attention to stupid things like that. This is why. You know what I'm saying? You look at it and you go, yeah, that's not even close. You can see a horse going over going, well, apparently I'm drowning because even though my head is 3 feet above, you know, I mean, I'm like a periscope in here in a submarine in water. It's so absurd. So this is why you got to be more careful. Now, what does that got to do with what we're talking about? Right into it. You have to fish. You have to fish.
Gone fishing.
Now, why is that important? Well, let me explain to you why you have to fish. Because what Tugboat Todd just said is a perfect entry point to what I'm about to talk about. What am I about to talk about? Talking about people that make the wackadoodle. Can we use wackadoodle on the Christian air? Well, we're doing it. The wackadoodle quotes of the Bible. You ever heard this one?
Money is the root of all evil.
You know, the Bible does not say that. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. Not money. It's not money itself. It's the greed connected to money. Wait, how about this one?
Cleanliness is next to godliness.
Yeah, that really came from the Lord. Oh, wait, no, it didn't, because it came from a mother who's teaching. Actually, it came from a nun teaching, trying to teach people to clean up. Isn't that fantastic? But here's my fave. You have to love this one. This is my favorite because I have the history of this in my hand.
God helps those who help themselves.
Originally, that quote was given to Poor Richard's Almanac in 1757, but that would be incorrect because in 1698, Algernon Sidney, that's right, Algernon Sidney came up with that quote to get people to get up off their rear ends. And so here's the bottom line, and I mean this sincerely. These are all false quotes, everyone. And there is quote after quote after quote after quote. And, oh, by the way, just so you can know, when people are part quoting, well, it says judge not. Okay, but there's 9,000 words that go before that and after that. Let's use those too, because it also says judge ye righteous judgment. But you're not going to hear that quote because that doesn't fit a person's political or cultural narrative. It's amazing. Oh, Jesus accepted everybody. Did you read Matthew 23 where he insulted the Pharisees and the scribes 14 to 15 times? I mean, have you read it? Here's another thing that people don't do. They don't bother read, so they don't know what it says. In the KKK, the Ku Klux Klan, the worst of the worst, they always try and claim their position stands in the Bible and that you can't have an intermixing of any kind of marital status in any way, shape, or form. These are people that are trying to say that the Old Testament is fully in play, yet I don't see them sacrificing lambs and sheep and goats anywhere. I don't see it. So what are you going to do? You're going to do marriage as Old Testament, but sacrifice as new? What are you doing here? That's just baloney. But the best one, and I've talked about this before, and it is my favorite, the best one is the dope religion. You guys, I've talked about it before. It's called the Hemp Society. Now pot's legal everywhere. But did you know that 40 years ago, 35 years ago, they tried to get it legal through the courts? And the argument was that smoking marijuana was in the Bible. And this got to a federal appeals court before a judge asked, what scripture is it based on? And do you know what the answer was? Genesis 1:29. For God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it, they will be yours for food. And then the judge said, are you eating it? And they're like, we're smoking it. And he said, but it says you got to use it for food. And they're like, we're smoking it. And they threw the case out and said no. Why? Because nobody read the extra two words for food. You see, this is the problem. The problem is that people are not reading it. What are they not reading? The Word of God. They quote the Bible. They try and say it's in the Bible. They try to use the Bible. They try and justify their cultural positions with the Bible. But they don't have an idea what the Bible is. And they wouldn't know Jesus from a paper bag. Or they wouldn't know the Lord if he slapped them across the face. This is a problem. This is why we need to learn to fish for ourselves. You can't rely on the pastor to tell you where everything is in the book. You can't rely on anybody in a college or in a setting, and you certainly can't rely on the media or Hollywood to tell you anything remotely close to the truth, because they don't care about the truth. You have to fish for yourself. When somebody says that says this in the Bible, that's one of my the favorite phrases people use. Well, the Bible says the first thing I say is address, please. And they go, what? I go, address. They go, what's that? I go, where does it say that in the Bible? I don't know. Somewhere in the Bible. That means nothing. Right? My mom had a great saying. It's a great Yiddish proverb. Better to be the poorest man, or the richest man in a poor neighborhood, than the poorest man in a rich neighborhood. Now, she could just have gone around going, well, that says it in the Bible. It must be true. Sounds proverbial. Okay. See? Sounds proverbial. So does a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. But it's not really in the Bible, folks. Here's the problem. The problem is we have to fish for ourselves, and we have to learn how to fish. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. When we come back, we're going to examine what that means. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Short break. We'll be back.
Local, national. professional and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Jesus wants us to walk with him.
Our daily bread.
Today's encouragement from the Our Daily Bread devotional was written by David McCaslin. David writes, a friend and his wife, now in their early 90s and married for 66 years, wrote their family history for their children, grandchildren, and generations to come. The final chapter, A Letter from Mom and Dad, contains important life lessons they've learned. One caused me to pause and take inventory of my own life. If you find that Christianity exhausts you, draining you of your energy, then you are practicing religion rather than enjoying a relationship with Jesus Christ. Your walk with the Lord will not make you weary. It will invigorate you, restore your strength, and energize your life. Eugene Peterson's paraphrase of Jesus' invitation in this passage begins, "Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Walk with me and work with me. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace." David continues, "When I think that serving God is all up to me, I've begun working for him instead of walking with him. There's a vital difference. If I'm not walking with Christ, my spirit becomes dry and brittle. People are annoyances, not fellow humans created in God's image. Nothing seems right. When I sense I'm practicing religion instead of enjoying a relationship with Jesus, it's time to lay the burden down and walk with him in his unforced rhythms of grace." You can access the daily devotional wherever you go with the Our Daily Bread mobile app. Visit getodbtoday.org. Today's encouragement was provided by Our Daily Bread Ministries.
If you're over the age of 50 and considering buying an annuity in the next 60 days, I have some important news for you. Don't buy an annuity until you understand the pros and cons of annuities. A free book to help you maximize your retirement income from television host and three-time author Josh Melberg has been released. This book reveals little-known truths about annuity strategies in simple-to-understand terms. Grab a pen right now, because we are about to offer you this free book that unlocks the five little-known secrets we believe baby boomers and seniors should know before buying an annuity. Call 800-725-1616 now and you'll receive a free copy of Josh Melberg's book, Next Gen Annuity Strategies Revealed. As a bonus, we'll also send you a copy of The Number One Mistakes Retirees Are Making With Their Investments Today and a free DVD on how you can get up to 33% more income in retirement. Call 800-725-1616. That's 800-725-1616. Employees of J.D. Melberg Financial have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Every time you say you love me, it truly is another sky.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. I should let you know, if you want to reach the show, davidspoon at kprz.com is a fantastic way. If you do have the extra time, you can step up in the front of your yard and go, "Hey, Abbott." I'm not going to respond, but it's kind of funny because it'd be like an Abbott and Costello thing. That's funny. Let's go back to what we were talking about. You can't mix humor with Bible. I can do what I want. Here we've been talking about the fact that you have to fish. You have to learn to fish. It's just a requirement. You can't just let people say whatever they want and not have some source to go to in regards to the Bible. That means that 66 books, that 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New Testament, written by 40 authors or so over a 3,500-year span, from kings to paupers, from fishermen to scholars to doctors, all forms and all backgrounds of life, all having one single thread, a message from God to the human race, that if we're going to utilize that, and of course we say around here, if he can create the universe, he can write a book. I mean, if you defy that logic, you've lost it, okay? You're thinking that the Earth and the moon and the sun are all working together because there's a gerbil in a cage that's running around keeping everything in status quo. So the bottom line there is you just have to be aware that we have to be able to be quality thinkers. Quality thinkers. Look at 2 Timothy 3, 16 through 17 says, all scripture is God-breathed, breath of God, same breath that went into Adam, and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. You want to be prepared for ministry? There you go. You want to be prepared to walk the walk? There you go. God gave it to you. Not, you know, and we've had this discussion multiple times. If a Martian came down and landed in the White House, and was a Martian, and he was a really nice guy, and he said, oh, look, I got a book for you. Here's a book. And he left that book, and then he took off again. People would read that cover to cover 10,000 times. Right. No, I'm not calling God a Martian. You're missing the point. And the idea is to understand that we need to be quality thinkers. Acts 17, 10 through 11. As soon as it was night, the believers sent Paul and Silas away to Berea. On arriving there, they went to the Jewish synagogue. Now, the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. Okay. These people are noble because they're listening to what Paul has had to say, and they're checking it out based on the script, based on the Old Testament. They're examining the scriptures every day. Well, we have an Old and New Testament. Are we examining the scriptures every day? We should be. I mean, you can't say we shouldn't be. I think you kind of already know the answer to that. So this is one of the biggest reasons. I'm gonna tell the truth, but I'm going to say, and I've said it before, but I'm going to say it in such a way. So this is one of the biggest reasons I can't stand MSNBC. Okay? I mean, MSNBC is to me, is one of the most depraved, long before the last 8-9 years of politics. Long before. And you think, well, why would you have such a disdain for a news agency? It's an excellent question. I'm gonna tell you. But, you know, MSNBC really stands for, you know, the idea of MSNBC is to really communicate truth. So they had a Princeton scholar on from the School of Theology, and this is what he said. Now, I'm working out in my gym, so this is why you got to know why this is important. I'm working out in my gym, and he says, well, Jesus never actually said he was the Messiah. So, you know, weights are supposed to be used like in a curling fashion, right? Or perhaps you're on a bench and you're lifting them, you know, from the little holder up, you know, and then on your chest. Just come up to me and give me the Bible and say, Jesus never really said, you know, he was the Messiah. So what do? I scream. This is before I had a radio show. This is when I was pastoring. This kind of stuff. You think I'm mad at them because of their politics? No, it's this stuff that leads people to hell. Not choosing Democratic or Republic. It's a Republican. It's this stuff. Why? Ready? This is why. John chapter 4, verse 25 through 26. The woman said, I know that Messiah called the Christ is coming. And when he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I, the one speaking to you, am he. All right, let me see if I can find out how Jesus didn't say he was the Messiah from this. Let me try, okay? The woman said, I know that Messiah is coming. And when he comes, he'll explain everything. I'm the guy. I'm pretty sure I'm the guy means I'm the guy, right? Well, that guy's coming. Oh, he already came and left. He's like, I'm the guy. So now you have a scholar from Princeton University, a theological teacher, who doesn't know how to read the Gospel of John because Dick and Jane running is beyond the mental capacity.
Are you kidding me? I mean, this guy's Dr. Fahrenheit. He's got so many degrees. He's called Dr. Fahrenheit. Here's the problem, folks. This is it. I'm going to give it to you right now. I'm just going to be straight with you. Because when you have people like that talking like that, you think, well, he should know. He's a scholar from Princeton. He's a teacher of theology. He's a moron. And I'll explain to you why. 2 Peter 3:16. This is Peter writing about Paul. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do to the other scriptures, to their own destruction. People take scriptures and distort them. They are ignorant people and they are unstable people, and the end result is their own destruction. Thank you, Princeton University, for not being able to read the Gospel of John. A passage, by the way, John chapter 4, verse 25 and 26, that is has one of the few that has no dispute from theological scholars in the 20th and 21st century, amazingly. The point that I'm trying to make to you is that we need to be thinking about it. We need to be knowing it. If you don't know that Jesus says he's the Messiah, you would not have an answer. You would just go, well, that guy's got to be right. He's a professor. Wrong. Professor of wrong is still professor of wrong. And unstable and ignorant people distort the passages. When Messiah comes, I'm the Messiah. That's what Jesus said. Can't get any clearer, dude. Impossible. Right? I mean, it's unbelievable. But because people don't know, they'll just think, well, he's learned. That's the wrong answer. There's many learned people. You know, people say, some of these brilliant physicists, they say this and this and this. One, not one of them has a heaven to put you in. Two, I'd like one of them to answer why they don't want there to be a God. Oh, does that mean there'll be accountability? Number three, they can't disprove or even prove that the scriptures are true. You have to make a decision to believe or not to believe. Once you've made that decision, down the line you go. So when you get somebody like Stephen Hawking, you think, well, he's brilliant. He knows everything. No, he doesn't. I'm sorry he's bitter about his religious upbringing. You can't get mad at me about that. You can't get mad at God about that. You can be mad at his parents, I guess. It's not my problem. But the bottom line is, just because he's bitter doesn't mean he's right. Well, he's a genius. Not when it comes to God. Ignorant and unstable people twist the scriptures to their own destruction, especially when they use or abuse or not use them at all. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. You're going to take a short break and then come back. Don't go anywhere.
I am pure Burmese and strong in my own religion. I did not want to hear about Jesus, but Pastor Ruwat came and told me about him. When Da'ai Tin first heard about Jesus, her reaction was, I will never believe your God and change my religion. But Pastor Ruwat continued to visit, sharing God's word and answering her questions. At first, she rejected the message, but after 1 year, her heart softened. And then one day, she clearly knew that what Pastor Ruwat had been telling her about Jesus and salvation was true. Now she is a believer in the living God. We at Whitefields Ministry support pastors so people can hear the gospel.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Well, your partnership by praying and donating to Whitefields Ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities. Visit whitefields.org or call 760-846-8610 and donate today.
This is Michael Medved for townhall.com. This month, June 2017, marks the 50th anniversary of the unification of Jerusalem as the undivided, eternal capital of the Jewish people. What was the city's status before Israeli victory in 1967 Six-Day War? At that time, Eastern Jerusalem and the Old City were occupied by Jordan. All Jewish residents had been either killed or driven out, and even Jewish tourists were banned from ancient holy places like the Western Wall. The UN Partition Plan of 1947 had called for international national status for all of Jerusalem, but the Arabs rejected the plan and destroyed 58 synagogues in the ancient Jewish quarter. UN control of Jerusalem was supposed to last only 10 years, when residents would vote to decide the city's permanent status. Since Jerusalem's population was two-thirds Jewish in 1947 and remains so today, the Holy City would have ended up as the undivided capital of the Jewish state of Israel, even under the UN's original plans. I'm Michael Medved.
AM 1210, K-Praise, is the Christian station in San Diego. K-Praise attracts an extremely loyal, family-oriented listening audience, over 60% of which are 25 to 54 years of age. This audience thoroughly enjoys the great ministry programs on K-Praise, featuring beloved preachers like Pastor David Jeremiah of Turning Point, John MacArthur of Grace to You, Dr. Charles Stanley of In Touch, as well as our incredible local talk show host, David Spoon, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4. Also remember, the K-Praise listening audience purchases the goods and services offered on AM 1210 by the local San Diego area businesses who consistently use K-Praise as a key component of their advertising plan. If your business needs to reach an audience of loyal San Diego area families, your business message must be on AM 1210, K-Praise, the Christian station in San Diego.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210, K-Praise, the Christian station.
Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Got so much to do. There's so much I want to cover. It's just like, wowzer. You know, the first segment we talked about, you have to learn to fish. You can't just let crazy quotes in the Bible go everywhere and anywhere. And for those that are looking for helpful tools, you should ask for the address when somebody says, it's in the Bible, say where. And make sure that they read it right, because a lot of people will leave off words or statements. You know, in Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5, they try and say, see, it says judge not. Well, verses 1 through 5 all talk about hypocritical judging, not judging anything in and of itself. And then just take them to John chapter 7, verse 24, where Jesus said, judge ye righteous judgment, and the 14 other passages in the New Testament that call for us to either use discernment, judgment, or wisdom in our evaluation. So there you go. Right? Simple. And then we talked about the fact that you got to be thinking about what people say, because even if you got somebody that's got a great resume, propped up by Hollywood or the media or even school systems, it doesn't mean that they know what they're talking about, because you have to read it yourself. You can't. Let me tell you, when a pastor in a Bible-believing evangelical church reads scripture, 85 to 90% of the church is reading that scripture with him. If he says something wrong, there's going to get a hand raised, right? You can't just let people say it. If they can quote it and they can back it up and it's verifiable, then that's one thing. But then again, you still have to, we're going to talk about how you have to use that. But before we get there, and we're going to talk about using the sword in about 1 minute. But before we get there, I was in the last segment going to say something about MSNBC. I forgot the acronym. I made up all these acronyms about 4 years ago. And so I just came across that sheet when I was talking to Todd, because I was like, he's like, well, what was the rest of that acronym? So I thought I'd just run over a couple of acronyms, just real fun. You don't get all serious. I mean, this is just a little bit of, you know, lip relief before we get into what I'm going to go after, which is tough stuff. All right, so CNN stands for Christians Not Necessary, or Christ Not Necessary, either one. MSNBC is Must Speak Negative About Bible Christians. CBS is Christians Be Stupid. ABC, Anybody But Christ. NBC, Numbskulls Believe Christ. NPR, Not Professional Radio. And PBS, Punish Believers Severely. You like that? Nice little list, huh? I should publish that. I should put that on Facebook. How do you think that would be responded to? Think people would appreciate it? Okay.
It's like with that, maybe that's not what they really stand for, but that's really what they stand for.
I know. It's so bad. It is. But when you get a news outlet and they're having somebody on there saying Jesus never said he's the Messiah, that's the time where you have to just go, okay. Every time stuff like that happens, by the way, just so everybody can know, I send an email out inviting them to have multiple segments on the show. They can promote anything they want. I just want the opportunity to talk to them. I have never gotten a yes yet. Just say, come on the show and defend that. You know, No, I don't think so. All right, so we were talking about, let's go back to this. Now, we were talking about scripture. You got to fish, and that's just something you have to do. And whether I say it on this show or not, whether I read it on this show or not, you have to verify it. It's not my job to verify it for you. I do my best to be, you know, I copy and print from 15 different sources on the Bible. That's what I do. And then I read it out, and then I talk about it. But you need to verify it. Just because I say it doesn't mean it's true. There's nothing that I say that is guaranteed to be true. You have to verify. You have to test it. You're in charge. The Bible says to you, prove all things. 1 Thessalonians 5. Just giving you an address. So the idea there is for you to process. And then you have to think about it. You have to say, was that what that person said, Edgar? Is that true? And I want to point out, and this is one of the most important things that my wife and I were talking about, and this would be the premise of the book that we're talking about, is how important it is to understand how to deal with Satan when it comes to his tactics against us. Because if you're not aware, you are in a war, and it's a spiritual warfare, and Jesus made the way that we're supposed to fight the war absolutely clear. We'll follow his pattern out of Matthew chapter 4. And why you hear me stress this over and over and over again is because we all need to get to a better place in this. Matthew 4, 1 through 11, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple and said, "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give to you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." So there are three. Now, there's a lot of people that believe that there are more than three temptations because he was tempted, it says, throughout the 40 days. But in Matthew's account, the way that we understand it is these three, and there's many people believe these three represent all things. I don't know if that's accurate or not. I think it represents the, you know, the piling of it, but I don't care. Here's what I care about. How did Jesus respond in each situation? It's all I care about. What did Jesus do to stop Satan from pushing through? All that matters. When Jesus was hungry, what did Jesus do? What when the enemy came against him because of hunger, a base need, what did Jesus do? When Jesus was challenged in his knowing of Scripture, you know, how did Jesus respond? And then when Jesus was asked to take a shortcut to get to where he was trying to go, which is the Messiahship, fulfilling the Messiahship, and taking authority over all the kingdoms of the world, well, how did he respond? Three times he goes through these massively intense temptations. Three times he quotes Scripture. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. In the first case, he reduces the physical need to be subservient to the spiritual need. You can't change this. He's hungry. Turn this into bread. And he's like, no, because it's written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Definitely putting the spiritual above all else. By the way, at the same time, the devil was trying to get him to use a miracle on himself, a selfish act, and Jesus wouldn't do it. But he resisted by how? By using Scripture. So my wife, when she wakes me up this morning, she goes, you know, Jesus can quote it once and it's good, where he's done. But we would have to quote it 50 times or 100 times. But you know what? She's right. Because the only answer against things like that is the Word of God. So when the devil says you're worthless, you have to come back and with Scriptures that show you're not. And the devil does. He might not speak in your head. He might speak in your head. I don't know. He might write it on a chalkboard. He might say it through an enemy. He might say it through a friend. He might say it through a television show, a movie. I don't care. Somewhere, if there's a connect and you have a weakness, he'll take advantage of it because that's what he does. That's what he does. And then when he quotes, Jesus quotes scripture, what does Satan do? What's the next thing Satan does right after? Satan quotes a scripture back at Jesus. Like, oh, what a tactic. Now look at what Jesus answered. It is also written. See, so Jesus goes, yeah, you're using one verse, but now I'm going to use another verse so that we can use all the verses. See, but only Satan wants you to use significantly specific, selected outside verses. That's why when people quote bits and pieces, they're just following Satan. Because we want all of it. Remember what Jesus said to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus? He said, you are slow of heart not to believe all that the prophets wrote. Everything, all of it, not some of it. Well, Dave, it's not all applicable. Then why did God give it to you? Well, I might not be under the same curse. Doesn't mean it doesn't have application to your life. It's just absurd. Things were written aforetime for our encouragement, the Bible says. And then finally, the shortcut. You want to get through all this mess? You want things to be easy? You want life to be easy? Just follow me, Satan says. Follow my way. Get along with the world. Make sure you get along to go along to go along to get along. Come on, let's all just have, you know, peace, flower power. Let's everything be cool, man. Everything's cool. Everybody do your own thing. If it feels good, do it. And Jesus is like, you know, that's not what Scripture says. Scripture says you got to be responsive to God. Scripture says you worship God. When you do things just for your own sake, when you do things for yourself because it feels good, you're worshiping yourself. That's wrong. Every answer from Jesus Christ against Satan comes from the Word of God. When you're going through it, you should have enough ammo in the Word of God to respond to each and every item. No wonder Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed from a lack of knowledge. We got to do better, man. And we can do better because we have access to it. Take a short break and come for the close. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Short break. We'll be back.
Is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
The U.S. Supreme Court last week turned heads among religious freedom advocates with action on two pending cases. This is Truth Itself. I'm Bob Dittmer. In what is viewed by a number of observers as an example of positive deference to church autonomy, the court ruled unanimously in favor of faith-based hospitals. Justice Elena Kagan authored the unanimous opinion. The decision overruled lower court rulings and respected the relief provided by Congress to church-affiliated plans under the Employment Retirement Income Securities Act. Walter M. Weber, senior counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, wrote, "The court did not suggest that it saw even the slightest problem with the notion of an exception for church plans in the first place, which is a very good thing and a significant victory for religious freedom." Similarly, Jordan Lawrence, senior counsel for Alliance Defending Freedom, told the Washington Times that the ruling grants a very broad view of church autonomy and pushes back government regulation of internal church affairs. Unfortunately, the court also disappointed religious liberty advocates last week. The justices decided not to hear an appeal for a U.S. Marine court-martialed for posting at her desk a paraphrased Bible verse from Isaiah 54:17. Kelly Shackelford, president of First Liberty Institute, which took on the case of Lance Corporal Monifa Sterling, said, "The military court's outrageous decision means federal judges and military officials can strip our service members of their constitutional rights." A new study showed two things that Americans are most stressed about: healthcare expenses and saving for retirement. One phone call right now can take care of both of these. Just call MediShare. MediShare members share each other's medical expenses. Most members save about $500 a month compared to other healthcare plans. Imagine having a great healthcare plan and adding $500 to your retirement every month. The phone number is 844-49-BIBLE. That's 844-49-BIBLE. You can see these stories and more on our website, truthitself.com. Truth Itself, news that impacts your faith, family, and country.
If you pray for guidance and mean it and comfort, you'll get it.
Former President George W. Bush on Focus on the Family Minute reflecting about the terror of 9/11 and the need to protect life.
The calling of September the 11th was to protect innocent people, starting with Americans. That's the main job of a president. War is unbelievably difficult. I understand that. But we were dealing with people that would not sit at a negotiating table. They were interested in one thing, and that was the destruction of human life. I believe a gift from an Almighty is the ability to be free and raise your children in peace. And that stands in stark contrast to the ideology of those who murder. It was a concept of human dignity that I feel we stand for, and that all life is precious and every human being has worth. Those are universal values.
Hear more from former President Bush today at FamilyMinute.org.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
It's breaking me in two. I'll give this broken heart to you.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. We have been discussing the importance of knowing the Word of God, and we're not talking about, I know about the Word of God, and that's really nice. No, you need to know the Word of God so that you are aware when somebody will quote something partially right, mostly right, or not even close to right, that you know what the Scripture says. You and I have to learn to fish. We can't just be sitting there thinking that somebody's going to fish for us. We have to fish into the Word. We have to know what the Word has to say. In Acts 17, it talks about, you know, the Bereans being a more noble people and of more noble character because they examine the Scriptures daily. We need to be able to think about what it is that people are saying and make sure it lines up with the Word. I don't care if they're a minister or a professor or a TV person or a radio host. That means nothing. What matters is that you engage with the Word of God between Genesis 1:1 and Revelation 22:21, 66 books, 39 in the Old, 27 in the New, and you know what it says. So that if a professor from Princeton University on some ridiculous cable station says that Jesus never said he was the Messiah, you can say John 4:25 and 26. Try reading it. You have to have the truth. And we talked about how that truth, the Word of God, is the very weapon, the sword, that Jesus used himself when he was engaging against Satan, quoting Scripture for each temptation. There's no shortage of temptations in the world, but there's no shortage of answers to those temptations in the Word of God. And we can't be a people that know of the Word. We have to be a people that we have to know the Word. Scripture says in 2 Timothy 2:15, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. You got to give space. Scripture, the way God wrote it, it's so brilliant. God doesn't say, you better do this perfect or I'm going to zap you with lightning. He just says, do your best. Go after it. Are you going to get it all? No. Unless you're Jesus, you don't get it all. And for those that think, well, Paul got it all, Paul changed his thinking about accepting people back when at first he was really mad at John Mark. And at the end of his ministry, he said, oh, yeah, let John Mark back. That's called growing up. Everybody does it except for Jesus. So let's separate him from that equation, put everybody else back into the box. All the rest of us, not so smart. So we got a lot to go. We got a lot to learn. And the reason that we want to handle the Word of God correctly is because that's how you approach situations that people misquote, or when the world misquotes, or when the world lies, or when Satan lies. You got to be aware of this stuff. It's like, no, I got to know this. And the only way to know it is to engage with it. You can't know the Word of God by putting the Bible up against your head and then going, I am now absorbing everything in the Word of God. You know better than that. I find it amazing that in, now I'm serious, in today's society, if you read William Shakespeare, the works of William Shakespeare, and you read them twice or even a third time, you are considered to have a mastery of William Shakespeare's material. You could read the Bible 500 times, you'll never have the mastery. Oh, I have a PhD. Means nothing. Because there is so much material in the Bible, it has been changing the world since in the beginning, God. Four words. Change the world all the way through. And how much has the New Testament changed the world? We do our calendar by it. B.C., A.D. Where do you think that came from? You think people are just making stuff up? Come on. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Is important to know because the Word of God brings us life. And you're thinking, well, how does it bring us life? Well, the Word of God is not God. So let's make sure you're not doing a worshiping of the Bible. That's very, very important. You don't worship the Bible. You worship God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. You worship three persons, one essence. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. That's what the Trinity is. And you don't want to have this idea that you take a book and you worship it like an idol. You got to be careful about stuff like that. But some people don't realize that the breath of God that went into Adam is the breath that goes into the Bible. And when you read it, it breathes on you. And that's why Hebrews 4:12 says the Word of God is alive and active. You know where it's really not effective? When you don't read it. Here's the most effective thing. If you don't read it, it won't be as effective. That's, you know, it's a terrible thing to say, but it is true. You know, you know what games you never win at? The ones you don't play. That's, okay. Well, you're not going to get the benefit if you don't read it. And here's a benefit that we need to be able to really understand. Psalm 19, verse 7. Listen to this. The Word of God brings us this restoration power. Psalm 19, 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. You going to tell me you can't use some refreshment? You don't need some spiritual vibing, some spiritual, you know, like, whatever that phrase is. You need some, you know, little generator going on in your little inside of you. Well, the law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. How would you like to have refreshing? You think of refreshing. You know, I'm from Arizona. I've spent a lot of time in Arizona, way too much time. Yeah, in fact, I couldn't get out of Phoenix. It was 121 the day I left to go to Flagstaff. Guess what? It's hot. It's hot. You know what you do when it's hot? You jump in the pool. Why do you jump in the pool? Because it's refreshing. Well, jump in the Word. Because it's refreshing. And it's good for you. Okay? All right. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a 22-hour break. Then we'll be back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk with you then.
Station.